Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. So we're going to Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Everybody got it? Amen. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bridechamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. Amen, amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I won't be a sipping saint. Y'all know what a sipping saint song? Come on, you can be seated. Amen. We're going to talk about not being a sipping saint, and we're still talking about deliverance. Let me see that. We're still talking about deliverance. Amen. And the deliverance that we've been really, really tackling is not just not saying it is not available, because it is always readily available in this house, is, you know, the casting out of devils, but also it is the renewing of the mind. Because if I begin to change my mindset, then I can really get free from some things permanently. Amen. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to change, is the mindset. And really, this is when I had a problem with Jesus. They had such a problem with him because he came challenging the way that they thought. That's why they were so angry, because the way that they thought they were right. And he came and began to say, well, look at it this way. It's not this, it's really this. And what you're doing is not really right. You really should be focusing on this. But when people come to us, especially when you've been around the church for a long time and you've known the word, you know, you hear the word, when people come to us and try to tell us what's right from wrong, sometimes it challenges what we have set to believe. Right? So Jesus, they always was challenging him back, always trying to get him caught in some type of, you know, have him break the law or have him, you know, try to discredit himself. Amen. And they was always trying to question him, question why he was doing certain things. But he was doing certain things because he knew exactly what to do. And he knew exactly who he was. And because he knew exactly what to do and who he was, because he was the truth, not just speaking the truth, then everything he did was the truth. But they had an issue with that. So even as I began to pray, God really began to lead me towards this scripture. And towards some other things too. You know, and a few Sundays back, right before the end of the year, we began to receive a new heart. Amen? Do y'all remember that? And if you missed it, you know, you still can receive it. Amen? We began to receive a new heart as it was declared over us by our pastor. Amen? And a lot of people have been talking about this new heart, and God began to really deal with me about this, because every word that we receive is in seed form. So when we receive the word, it's in seed form. A lot of times we don't feel different in right away. But it's holding on to the word that and beginning to actually feed the word and letting the word stay in the place where it's supposed to be so it can begin to grow into where it's supposed to be. But a lot of times we let the word go. We hear things and then we just move on from it, right? Or we don't keep it. Or we hear things and then we're looking to hear more and more and more and more and more things, thinking the more that we hear, the more that we're going to be able to apply that which we have heard without really focusing on what we have really heard to apply it. Amen? So do you know when you're being tested on what you heard. Can you recognize? Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Because when you go to Mark chapter 4, it talks about the sower sowing the word. And it talks about all the different ways we lose the word. And the different ways that the word gets choked out of our lives. And for me, it's always been, well, I done hit every single one of them from the time I wasn't saved. Because most of the time, this is why you could sit in church if you're not really interested. It's because, you know, the word's just falling by the wayside. You're not really in them. You know, it don't really hit you. It's not really affecting you. Right? So the seed is not really being planted. So this is why we say, well, it ain't really do nothing for me. Because it's not being received. Right? The ground don't have too much of a choice but to receive unless the sower is sowing in the wrong place. Meaning if the sower is sowing on cement, which sometimes that's what we are at times, in our heart, when he sows on cement, it just falls and it does not take root in us. So you can come to church for a long time, hear a whole lot of word, and it don't take root. Anybody ever been there? I grew up like that. Yeah, I grew up like I was always going to church. Go to church after getting high the night before, you know what I'm saying? And hanging out with my friends and all this other stuff. And I really didn't want to be in church. But because they was going to Golden Corral afterwards and they was paying for my meal, hey, we can go. Or if the church mothers, you know, if they got together and they fed, and my granddaddy was the bishop, I'm at the front of the line. Hey, we can go. I'll get up and go. That'll be lovely, because I want to eat. Right? But the word was still doing something to me, even though I wasn't really listening. I can tell you a lot of things that I heard. But it still was affecting me. I knew God had called me. I was just running on purpose. Amen? So when we really listen to the word, let it take root. So if this new heart, you received it, we was all, you know, we've been excited about it. And it even talks about that. When you receive the word, you get excited. But when persecution comes, what happens? We just cough the word back up. We pluck it up. We say, we're just going to let it choke out because this is too hard. Or if some kind of opposition is coming, then I can't handle the word actually growing in my life. Or when it begins to grow, what happens? He says the deceitfulness of riches or the cares of this world begin to choke it out. I mean, this is when your money get funny. Or this is when the devil say, well, look, you need to make money more than believe God. You can believe God after you make this money. It'll be easier to believe God after you got the money. Right? You got to take care of your home. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your clothes. You got to take care of all the things. You got to take care of the cares of this world become more important than the word. So then when that becomes more important than that, which was, that's when we see it starting to grow, but then it won't never give any fruit. I mean, I don't get no return from the word. I don't know about you, but this year I won't return from the word. I really want return. I don't want to just hear. I want return from what I hear. I don't want to just read it. I want return from what I read. I want it to sit in me. But I'm realizing for it to sit in me, I really got to deal with a whole lot more stuff than I'm willing to deal with. Amen? So with this new heart that we're dealing with, and we'll just go through the scriptures. We'll go through the scriptures. We're going to jump around just a little bit, not that much today. Amen? Y'all stay with me? Amen. Okay, so verse 33, he's talking about, he says, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? Fasting is a confrontation of your soul. And as we're going through fasting as a ministry, or even if you're going through fasting personally, when you begin to fast, it confronts your appetite. Not just your physical appetite. It really confronts what you really want out of life. When you really begin to fast, it confronts what makes you move? What moves you? What influences you? What makes you happy? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we actually see how much food really has moved us. Because if I don't get what I really want to get, if I don't get full the way I really want to get full, I get an attitude. Or to give up certain foods and not eat them when I want them, I get a little, you know, it's hard to deal with me. Right? Anybody been dealing with a little bit of that? You know, we going through the little Daniel fast. All the food, after a while, just start tasting the same. It don't taste no different. The beans, the rice, you're trying to add spice, and then after a while, it's like, okay, I'm just eating spice, just be eating spice, so I can, everything's spicy, so I can just have something exciting in my mouth. Oh, you know it's the truth. It's the truth. Egg spicy, lunch spicy, dinner spicy, everything spicy. Putting sauce on everything 3 times a day. Because I can have this sauce, I'm going to eat the sauce. You know what I'm saying? But everything starts to taste just one tone. And for some of us, we don't like when life is like that. One tone. I need, because I'm not, you know, I used to get in the kitchen and burn it up. I don't like eating the same thing over and over again. But as I've gotten older, my time and my money is like, I can eat the same thing. As long as I get something in my stomach and I can go forth to the next day, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? But this fasting, what he was beginning to talk to them, because fasting really does confront our appetite. It confronts what we really think about ourselves, what we think we can live with and without. Because a lot of us, we feel like, well, I can't live without that meat, or I can't live without that meal, I can't live without that. But we think about that about a lot of different things. I can't live if certain things are not this way. Like, I'm not at peace if certain things are not in place. And fasting begins to really begin to challenge that, whether that is true or not. Because medically, we understand it's not true. Medically, you can live without food and water for 3 days. That's as long as you can go, medically, that you're supposed to go. Medically, the longest I've heard people fast, and we see it in the Bible, 40 days. And even that, medically, they are even really prescribing a certain strain and certain streams of medicine for people to fast to get back healthy, because the body will heal itself. Amen. But a lot of times, what we don't want to do what it takes to change, and this is why Prophetess Portia, even the stuff that she was talking about, was so on point with what I'm going to be talking about today. Amen. That permanent change, that day-to-day just, hey, I can actually live above where I've been living. I can change, and it can be permanent. Amen? Confrontation, it's also a confrontation of subduing your appetites, and it renews us as being a new wineskin, as we're going to go into. Our heart, this new heart, is a wineskin. So God gave us a new heart to fill it with something new. Amen. Come on, let's read a little bit more. Excuse me, my cough. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? He's pretty much saying, I'm here. There's no reason for us to fast. Because I'm here, it's time for us to celebrate. Right? This is why when the presence of the Lord comes, we supposed to what? Celebrate. This is supposed to be a celebration when we come together. Because we come to remember who he is, and we come to celebrate who he is. Amen? Come on, shout hallelujah. We have to not be afraid to celebrate him when he's in our midst. Amen? Don't hold back when he's in our midst. But he said, then he begins to talk about, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. Why? Because now I'm having to what? Make myself hungry for what is not readily available. Because we don't like to look at in our lives, we would just really grab for the thing that's the closest and the most convenient. And to seek God is not convenient a lot of times. So when I begin to make myself uncomfortable, I can begin to seek God. It begins to push me towards those things that are not convenient for me to grasp. It pushes me outside my natural self. So with this new heart being a new wineskin, I want to talk about just a little bit the functions of the heart. The functions of the heart. Come on, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You got it up there? Okay. What does it say? Keep, meaning to guard, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this new heart is like a new wineskin. This new heart is where I live from. The heart is the seat of the emotions, the passions, a seat of emotions and passions and courage. It's the seat of our appetites. It's where everything, what we desire. And it's really, really, really connected to the mind. The heart can think also. It can ponder, wonder, seek out. You see what I'm saying? It can feel all on its own without your personal influence. Meaning you can feel things you don't want to feel. Right? Meaning the heart can be deceitful. It can deceive us and make us feel certain ways about ourselves that we should not really feel. And a lot of times when we talk about this deception, we talk about it in the sense of, you know, the wickedness, because the Bible talks about it being desperately wicked above all things, right? But the wickedness that is communicating to us sometimes is the wickedness of not believing what God has said about us. That's wicked. Sometimes the heart can make you believe that, no, that can't be for you. No, God can't do that for you. No, God is not really wanting to bless you in that type of way. No, God is not really wanting to pull you into a different place in him. No, it's not you. You're not good enough. You're not this. You're not that. It's deceiving you. And it will show you things about yourself to convince you that it can't be you. To convince you that you'll never be good enough. To convince you that you feel a certain type of way that you can never change. Right? This is where knowledge, thinking, memory is, because the heart can remember. You know, there's some things we remember in our heart, right? Meaning some things that come through your mind, you actually have emotions about. That's when your heart is remembering. Your heart is remembering this thing. Your heart is recalling this situation. You ever been so mad and you feel, I just can't let it go? What's holding on to it? It is the heart that holds on to these things. It is the heart where we forgive, we let go, we open up, we let people in, we love, we reject. So if God saw fit to give us a new one, why? What was wrong with the old one? See, I got everybody thinking. I like that. I like that. I like that. So in this particular scripture, he's saying what? Protect your heart. You have to begin to protect this new heart that God has pronounced over your life. Why? Because God is now delivering. We're talking about deliverance. That was, in a sense, deliverance. when he spoke the word over us, when God began to release the word through the man of God over us, that was deliverance from old ways, old habits, old beliefs, an old heart. To say, I'll give you something new. So you have to protect it. Meaning you have to protect it from the old. Sometimes we think we got to protect our heart just from other people. I got to protect it from these people, this set of people, this person, that person. Sometimes we got to protect our heart from us. For what God is doing in us. That I don't let my heart get contaminated with something old. And how do I protect it? With all diligence. Meaning I have to, every thought, I gotta examine it. I gotta bring it captive. Meaning I gotta capture the thought. Why did Jesus tell them in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruit you shall know them? And this is what God began to confront me about, even just yesterday. He said, you looking at the fruit of your life and you don't want to look at it for what it is. You're downplaying the fruit of what you see and the fruit of what you produce. Because the fruit really points towards the root of what you're really dealing with. So you downplay the fruit, but you don't like the fruit that you keep on eating from your life. But you don't want it to be that bad. You don't want it to be that serious. You don't want it to be that there is a tree of laziness in your life. There's a tree of disorganization in your life. There are different roots that are keeping you, that keeps on growing and it's producing fruit. But you won't get down to the root because you just say, well, the fruit ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. I'm working on it. But how can I work on it if I don't get to the root? The root is the truth. The truth that I do not want to look at about myself. That there's certain fruit that I'm producing that does not please God. That's still disobedience. That I have an excuse for. I have a validation for. I have a please forgive me for. I have all that for God. Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah. It's when I look at the fruit, I don't like this fruit. I know I'm greater than this fruit. I know God has called me to be better than this fruit, but I'm not going to do what it takes to pluck up the root. I just try to shield the fruit from everybody seeing my fruit. I try to organize the fruit. Let me pick it and organize it. You know, so it don't look that bad. But I never get rid of the actual plant. I don't do what it takes. I don't get extreme enough with my change to get to the root. Because some things, it's going to take us not just saying, this is why I told Pastor Link, I said, you know, this, and told my wife, I said, this year I'm not going to talk it up. I talk it up every year. Yeah, man, I'm going to hold on to this type of eating, man. I'm going to do this, man. I'm going to do that. And by March, I'm eating everything I was eating in December. Lie, every year. I said, you know what? I'm going to make a real decision by shutting my mouth and actually think through myself, deal with my heart, and say, will you do this? Don't just say it. Stop lying. Because in the moment, it feels good. It sounds good. But we do that about a lot of different things. Man, I'm about to do this thing. But you ain't really sat down and really went through the stuff that keeps you from doing it. The change that she was talking about, the daily, hey, I can be a champion every day. But what? It's going to take some work. Meaning I got to look at the things that are really stopping me. What is stopping me? What stops me? It could be just one belief. For me right now, it's just one show. Law and Order. SVU. I started watching it from the beginning. And I'm hooked. And I got to get off of it. Because my heart yearns for it. You see, I know you, we should say, oh, I like it. No, my heart be like, man, turn on the TV when you get home, man. Just turn on the TV, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be another good episode. Stabler's going to beat me. He's going to beat up somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, this is something, it sounds crazy, right? But your heart can start yearning for something that you train it to feed. You feeding it. I've been feeding myself Law and Order. So when I get home, it's just custom. It's tradition. Let's cut the TV on to where it's almost hard for me to go to sleep. Come on now. Because what is it doing? It's eating up my time. It's pulling me away from things that I need to focus on. Why? Because there's a part of me, let's just say the real truth, I don't want to do the work that it's really going to take. Because the work feels like discipline. It's so dry. It's so like just, it feels like there's no immediate reward in it. It's just, I got to do this and I don't feel like it. Like it's going to take forever to get there. It's not going to really produce anything. I got to keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I want something to distract me so I can have some entertainment. Because I'm bored with my diligence. Diligence is boring to me. This is why we say, well, we get tired of praying. I get tired of believing God. I get tired. It is the weariness comes in because I get bored with the discipline. But the discipline is where I must do what I said I was going to do. This is when I stop lying to myself and everybody else. So we have to keep our heart. Well, you got to protect your heart from that stuff, old stuff. With all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. This is where life flows from. Okay? So whatever life looks like, it is a direct reflection of your heart. Meaning however you feel about people and yourself, it's a direct reflection of what is in the heart. Whether you don't want it to be that, it is. If you have a short fuse, it could be a direct reflection of anger. It could, you know what I'm saying? If you look too many times when you see body parts, it's a direct reflection of the heart. I'm looking, I'm yearning, I'm looking for something. Okay. If you stay away from people because you don't like people, it's a direct reflection of the heart. That there's something about you you don't like. There's there's something in you that you're avoiding. Because if that's my life, I don't really want to be connected. Man, it's real quiet. All right? Come on, let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 10. I'm trying to do 45 minutes. That's what I'm trying to do. Romans 10 and 10 says, for with the heart man believes. This is a function of the heart, belief. This is how we got saved. To believe is, when we believe, it's, you know, it's really because something has been proven to us to be logically and or factually true. that we, or it's been proven to us that, and this is my own definition, I didn't look this up, okay? It's been proven to us logically or factually that we have decided it is true to put confidence in. When you make the choice to believe, it's because you say, look, okay, to me, I have been convinced that logically and or factually, or even sometimes emotionally, I'm deciding that I believe that that is true and I want to put confidence in it. Okay? So when we believe, when we make a choice to believe, it's because I believe that is true. In short. On some level. Okay? So what is it that you believe? Or what is it that your old heart used to believe? That now the new heart is having to fight against. Because it's old beliefs. Because when we really go to, and we're about to dig into those scriptures, you can go ahead and take me to Luke. When we really see what he really was trying to confront, it was a belief system. He was trying to get them to understand, look, something new is happening. And the old was good, but it has been used. Okay? I mean, I can't contain what is coming and what I had. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, something new is coming. That's why you got a new heart. It's simple. Right? So if something new is coming, do you have an expectation of new? And I begin to ask God, I said, well, God, you say ain't nothing new under the sun. He said, no, nothing new under the sun, but it might be new to you. It doesn't mean that it's new to the earth, but it's new to you. It's not new to me, but it's new to you. I'm declaring a new thing to you, but it may not be new to me. Of course, you know it's not new to him. The Ancient of Days, he knows all things, you know? All right? So when we go here, give me the next scripture. So he began to speak this parable, and this is going to be the meat of what I'm going to be talking about. He speaks a parable to them, and a parable is nothing less than two things that you begin to oppositely look, you know, begin to, you know, make them kind of fight together. It's like two ships on the sea fighting. Okay? That's the picture of what a parable really is. No man putteth a new garment upon an old. No man. I got some. No man. Meaning, if I got something that's old, I don't go and bring something new and put something on it. He's saying, look, this makes sense to nobody in the natural. In the natural, this makes sense to nobody. But spiritually and emotionally, this is what we do. As soon as God's saying, look, I'm about to do something new, I got the old. So I expect the old. I'm looking for what was old. I'm looking for how the old was. So I begin to try to bring the new to the old. Because I'm never really leaving the old. Y'all following me? Meaning, if you got a new pair of pants, and with your new pair of pants, you took a piece out of the new pair of pants to put it on the old ones. That's the only reason you bought it. Does that make sense to you? Does that, this way he said, no man, nobody does this. It doesn't make sense. So sometimes the deliverance that God is trying to do is deliver me from the old. The old man, with him, he was trying to deliver them from the old way of thinking. The old way of approaching life and approaching God. Could it be that maybe if some places in our life with our life with God is dry, it's just because we just need something new or we just need a new approach? But because we won't let go of the, oh, God, this is where I used to find you. Okay, I'm not there no more, so I'm not there. I'm not where that same hallelujah or that same thing that used to turn your heart, that's not where I'm at. And sometimes God does this so you can pursue. Because in your pursuit, you find faith. In your pursuit, you exercise faith. In your pursuit, you get away from what's old. So sometimes deliverance is just a change of location. I change the way I think. I change the way I'm doing this. I change the way I respond. Right? So look at your name and say, let go of the old. See, the old might be your old hurts too. You got to let go of the old. Meaning if somebody did something in the past, tell somebody, say, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to simply move on. Because if I don't move on, I'm going to always hold on to the old. And I'm going to bring the new to the old. And I'm going to see, God, you said you was going to make me new. I'm trying. You old. You too old. You holding on to the old. The old is old. It's let it go. It's aged. It has no more purpose anymore. Let's move on. But the moving on is a moving on of mindset. Of how I think. How I approach it. You can no longer say, well, I'm not going to deal with this situation like this because this is how they reacted last time. No, that's old. Get them a chance to react a different way this time. This is the way people usually act me. It's the way people usually treat you. That's old. How you know they're going to treat you like that now? Do they not get a chance to be different? Do they not get a chance to be new? Amen?
Amen, amen, amen.
So he said, what if we do this, he said, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, meaning it's torn, I'm tearing up that what's new. And for some of us, God said, look, you already tearing it up. You already tearing up what's new because you won't begin to look, get away from the old and just go ahead and invest in the new all the way. Instead of trying to make them meet, like I'm trying to, sometimes we call this balance. I don't want to change too drastically. But for some of us, the only way you really going to change is going to stick is if it's drastic. I have to make drastic changes. Because what? I'm tearing up the new to put it on the old. Why? Because my heart is with the old. Or at least that's what I'm used to. But God is like, look, I'm trying to give you a new heart so you can get something new. So you can contain something new. So you can carry something new. For some of us, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to be. And he's like, okay, there's no way you're gonna be closer to me with that old heart. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pronounce this over your life. And now with this seed, you gotta let it grow in your life. So now you actually have to give your heart a chance to feel things differently, to view things differently, to perceive things differently, to let go of the past and begin to walk in things differently. I mean, you got to challenge your habits. I got to turn law and order off. Oh, I got to limit it, maybe like one or two shows. Instead of five, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But then I'm just talking about being drastic, though, right? So maybe I need to turn it off. I may have to turn it off. My heart show don't want to turn it off, right? I want to get all the way to season 26, you know. I'm only on season 10 or 11. I got a long way to go. That's a whole lot of waste of time. Right? Amen. But this is what we do. We take away from the new, tear up the new, and take the piece that was out of the new, and it don't agree with the old. It don't agree. There's no agreement. And we want to keep hold on to the old and then try to put the new inside of the old. But then there's no agreement. Come on, give me the next verse. Saying, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Come on, give me that picture. Now, when we talk about wineskins, this was a real wineskin. I know we done seen that stuff. You seen the little small one. But this is a whole goat or some kind of skin of an animal, okay? That's why they really, really, really made the wine. Wine skin was made from the animal, the skin of an animal. And they use it, I mean, we like leather. Everybody in here likes some leather. You like the smell of leather, so you like the smell of an animal that's been slaughtered. Yeah, it don't look like that. It's pretty. But this is for the whole purpose of fermentation. Okay? So they put the grapes, the crushed grapes, and this is what the Lord began to speak to me. He said, look, there's some things that I crushed through last year. I crushed you. I crushed some things. And now the things that I've crushed, what has been released from that, I'm trying to put it in a new wineskin, a new heart. But we can't use old wineskins. Why did he say this? Take me back to the scripture. He said, no man put a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles. And do what? And be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. Meaning the old thing's going to perish, and that which God has prepared to be able to fill the new thing, it's going to perish too. Don't let your change spill out. Because you're trying to put it in an old lifestyle. You're trying to put it in an old mindset. Don't let it spill out. Don't let your change spill out because you're putting it in an old attitude. An old way of perceiving things and looking at things and understanding things. You got to come to God and say, you know what, God? I don't even know. Just tell me how to look at this. Tell me how. Because in the newness, God wants to renew the humility of a child in us that you don't know. Because too many of us know. We think we know. Oh, I know what that scripture say. Do you really know what it say? Minister Brandon been calling me. He was like, well, this is what I'm getting out of the scripture. And the Holy Ghost been like, just. He said, don't go with you, because you're familiar with it. Listen. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go back and look. And it's been prompting me to say, let me look deeper. Maybe I'm missing something. This is why we're supposed to talk to each other about scripture. I still give like, well, this is what I'm used to, but I'm not refuting what you're saying. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Let me go look. Why? Because I can't act like I got such a handle on scripture, such a handle on some things that I know I read, because I'm reading through stuff now that I know I missed. Like, I don't even remember that scripture at all. Like, whatsoever. I didn't even know this scripture was in the Bible. For real. So how much do I really know? So you got to come back to humility. With this newness, you got to come back to humility to say, you know what? Okay, God, pour in me now. because I'm not going to put it in something old. I'm going to think differently, feel differently, walk differently, respond differently. I'm going to try because I believe you've given me something new. Meaning you may not feel like it. I'm pretty sure they didn't feel like Jesus was the Messiah. Right? They didn't. As much as they, you know, opposed him, they did not feel like he was the Messiah. He didn't come the way that they thought he was supposed to come. According to their understanding, according to how they viewed the scriptures, according to how they viewed God, it was according to them, not according to God. Right? So what's old in your life that you don't want to let go? Because that's the real question. We could be real cute and say, oh, man, this is good. Okay. But what's old in your life that you don't want to let go? What old habit, attitude, way of doing things, relating to other people that you say, you know what, I don't want to let that go. I've been like that. They told me I've been like that since I was a child. So, and your point is, just because you've been like that since you was a child doesn't mean anything. Maybe you've been wrong since you was a child. It's a possibility. And for some of us, that's the truth. You've been dealing with people wrong, dealing with situations wrong. These situations come up and I don't know how to deal with them. Since I was a child, all the way up to now. Tell your neighbor, don't let your change spill out. That's if you really want to change. Do you really want to change? I ain't talking about you in church on Sunday want to change. Because all of us want to change when we on Sunday morning. God, change me. We want to change, right? We want to say that we changed. But the pain of change. Are you willing to endure the pain of change? And for some of us, it's just the pain of you being wrong. You just have to realize, you know what? I'm wrong. The way that I'm looking at this is wrong. The way that I feel about this, wrong. The way that I thought about this, wrong. Or it's not going to produce the fruit that I need to come out of my life. Maybe I am right factually. But the attitude that's connected to my facts is wrong because I'm proud about what I feel like I'm right about. I'm proud about it. And it's puffed me up to where can't nobody even tell me nothing about this. You might can tell me something about something else, but about this, you can't tell me anything. I know I'm right about this. You could be right. But will you let God prove that you're right? Will you give God a chance to prove that he is right about the right that he showed you? Or do they need to listen to you? Because if they don't listen to you, you ain't about to play me. I know I'm right. Okay. Be right. Be wrong while you being right. Right? Amen. So let's not let it spill out. And let's not destroy what's old. Because you know a sign of when you're destroying, when what's old, you're trying to put new in the old and that don't fit. And then the old starts to get destroyed is when you start to question whether God is even real. Because then it's like, well, is anything that I even believe correct? Is anything that I even, you start to question all of that. You been there? I've been there. God trying to do a new thing, but I'm like, God, well, I'm going to be the same. Because I know how to live saved. Do I? No, I do not. No, I do not. I know some principles, but no, I do not have. I do not have all the answers. Come on, give me the next scripture. It said, but new wine must be put into new wine bottles, and both are preserved. So new wine, why do they must be put in new wine bottles or new wine skins? Because the old wine skin is already stretched out to capacity. Because the fermentation process of the starches actually eating up the sugars and turning it into alcohol, right? It is agitation that happens, and gases get released and all this other stuff begins to happen. And it expands the wineskin. So if you put new wine in an old one, when that happens again, it's just going to burst. But if you put it in a new one, it has the elasticity for it to be able to handle the change. Because the change is going to stretch you further than what you're used to. Because the thing is, even with fermentation, because the new wine, you're getting, and God is pouring something in you new. It's called wine, right? But it's not fermented yet until you have contained it. Meaning you got to keep it. You got to keep it. If you don't keep it through the process of it stretching inside of you, meaning it agitating you, is bumping up against all the stuff that you thought you was right about, that you thought you believed, because he was really talking about in the scripture from old to new, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. He said, you can't even put what I'm trying to teach in the old. You can't make them just, you can't do it the way you're trying to do it. You got to take what I'm doing for what it is and let that begin to grow. All by itself. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to lose it all. So with this new heart, don't think that you're not going to deal with any agitation in your change. With the new mindset, don't think that you're not going to deal with any irritation when you're having to go back and apologize when you don't really want to. Can God bring people back into your life that you don't like and you'd be okay? Could he bring people back into your life that you don't like and you'd be okay? That might be wise. I ain't answering either. You know what I'm saying? Can he? Of course he can. But what I'm saying is, can you handle it? Let me switch up the question then. Can you handle? Because what's new may come, it may come with some old folks. It may come with some new people that look like old folks. Act like old folks. May come with some new situations that's going to look like something old. But could you handle it? Because even the starches eating up the sugars to be able to turn this into alcohol, meaning, you know, change is sweet in the beginning. Send me, thank you. And then there comes a point to where, like, you look like you're waving at the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, the surrender begins to go down because you begin to say, you know, I don't want to surrender like this, like, not to this. Surrender to this. But he's like, this is where you mature. This is where you get delivered from being just a child in me. I'm trying to grow you up. Meaning you got to be able to handle conflict differently. You can't handle conflict the same way you've been handling it. Stay mad for 2-3 months. Don't talk about it. Hold stuff in your heart. Got grudges that you have really just, you know, convinced yourself that you don't have a grudge about. But you have issues with people. You got issues. And you say, well, it's not that big. It's not that serious. It may not be, but that serious makes you not want to deal with that person. I think it's serious. I think it's serious. Don't you? If it's still affecting your actions right now, then it could be old wine. Because wine, when you drink enough of it, will affect you, right? That's what I know. That's the first thing I got drunk off of, some wine at work. At work when I was 16. At work. I lost a few hours. I did. On the clock. I still got paid. That was bad. They was covering for me because they knew my dad. Yeah, she covered me. I was acting crazy up in there. They told me I said some crazy stuff. I walk around work drunk early in the morning in a pizza restaurant. Tried for like 2 or 3 weeks to get drunk. I said, I gotta know how I feel to get drunk. I was already smoking weed by then. I don't want to know how I feel to get drunk. So I kept on trying. Get me a cup. Try to down it, and I couldn't get it. But one morning I looked up, and it was 11 o'clock. When I looked up again, it was like 2:30 or 3. And I don't remember anything in between. And I did not go to sleep. They told me I said some very obscene things to the manager and everything. So, yeah, so wine is a mocker. That's what the Bible says. It mocks you. But the wine that God wants to pour in us, the wine is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is another name for the Holy Spirit. And pretty much what he was trying to get them to understand is my presence is now not going to just, it's not going to dwell in the old. It's going to dwell in the new, but it's going to dwell, you got to contain what the new is. You got to understand what the new is. So you got to understand what the new is in your life. How is God trying to dwell in you right now? What is it going to take from you? So that it is preserved. How many times we done lost it? God start doing something, and then I get off track. I lose it. I don't preserve what God is doing because I don't give it enough room to stretch out in me when it gets too uncomfortable or when it deals with stuff that I don't want it to deal with or having to handle situations that I usually wouldn't have to handle. Well, God, you know me. Yes, he does. That's why he know you need to change. When we tell God, well, God, you know me, you know I don't do this, I don't do that. No, he's saying, okay, yes, I know that. But this is my life, not yours. You gave it to me. So we can't take it back when it's uncomfortable. When it becomes too challenging. When he's trying to deliver you from habits, deliver us from mindsets, when he begins to challenge the things, because you know what? Truth keeps your mind stable. Lies will begin to make you unstable mentally. It is lies that begin to cause insanity to come in. Because I'm not able to handle reality. This is one of the signs you know you're kind of dealing with insanity a little bit when you run away from reality. When people come to you with the truth and you get angry. When I just rather not deal with the truth. Because to deal with the truth is to deal with myself. And I'd rather not deal with myself. Give me the next scripture. He said, "What? No man. So what is he saying? All of us are like this. Nobody, also having drunk old wine straightway, meaning immediately, desireth the new. So God already know when we in here, God, do something new in me. God, do it in me. God, I gotta have you. God," and he's like, "Okay, I understand. But you might not always desire what this new gonna look like. Because this is not common. Men, we like the comfort of habits. We're very habitual people. Humankind. Right? So when anytime somebody breaks certain habits or certain, you know, routines, sometimes it messes us up. That's why we don't like people waking us up when we don't want to get woke up. We don't, you know, we have certain times that we want to eat. We have certain times that we want to do certain things. We just have these routines in our life. These are habits. And with these habits, when these habits are challenged, when I have to let go of these habits and start something new, then it becomes very difficult. Because we think, what? For he said, on the inside of us, what do we say? The old is better. The old is better. I want what I used to have. And then we've heard the man of God talk about this. He said, you know, I don't want to go back. I want to exceed where I was and go further. A lot of times we say, I want to go back. But sometimes we don't recognize what God is already doing right now because it looks different. It's not that God is doing something greater back then and now he's not doing something great now. It's just he's great. Whatever he does is great. It's just some things we judge it to be great and we judge it to be good and we judge it to be good, you know, bad and all that kind of stuff. Just like we judge certain things that he says to be evil and we judge certain things that he says to be good. So what we'll call certain scriptures good and certain scriptures ain't that good to us. But it's all good. Amen? So look, desire the new. Begin to ask God, God, what is in the way of me really receiving the newness that you have for me? For some of you, it's just a greater commitment. He just wants you to commit more to him. It's a greater commitment. And you're struggling with that commitment in your heart, whether you can actually do it or not, whether you can sustain it. But if he is pulling that from you, if he's commanding that, if he is asking that from you, he's already given you the provision to do it. The reason that you feel like you can't do it is because you can't. He's pulling you into a committed place with him where you depend on him to do it through you, in you, and you do it with him. We look at what's old and we say, ain't no way that I can do that. And he says, well, I've already said that you was new, so the only manifestation that you're going to see what is new is if you come over here and let me prove to you that you're new. Let me prove to you that I can be greater than the old. I can be greater than what I was in you back then. So will you commit to him? Will you commit more time to him? Will you commit more thought to him? Will you commit more of your heart to him? Will you open up and give him more of yourself? Come on, stand on your feet. I guess so. I'm not going to do no altar call, not unless you want, you know, some prayer. But I will give you just a few moments And nobody's forcing you. Nobody's, you know, making you anything like that. But I will give you a few moments to say, God, just be honest with the Lord. God, I want to give you more of me, but, you know, I really just don't know how. God, I've really given up on change. Yeah, I feel like this is just the way I'm going to be. God, I know you're calling me right now to be saved, but I don't really want you. Be truthful with him. Because even in the quietness of this place, of this gathering, as some of you, the God is pulling on your heart, and you know you're supposed to give your life to him, but you say you're not ready. Meaning you're supposed to give, you've been around it, you've grown up around it, but you know, I'm just not ready to do that. I don't want to do that. You don't want to commit further, deeper into what God is saying for your life. So I just want to give you just a moment to just be honest with God. God, don't let this fast be in vain. God, I don't want just church antics. I don't want just church cliches. I don't want just a good feeling, God. I really want permanent daily change. I want practical from day to day that I feel different about myself. That I respond different to my family. That I change my mindset. I want something different, and I don't know how to get there. Please help me. I want to be able to live in a different place in you, but I feel hopeless to get there. Help me. The Lord want to know, but some of y'all, will you just give up with the fight? Stop fighting who he really called you to be. Who he called you to love. Will you give up with the fight? Will you stop resisting me and resist the enemy? Stop believing that I'm not with you. Stop believing that you're going to fail if you try. Let those things go. That's the old. See, it's scary to walk into the new. And I just want to take just a few moments just to do this. It's scary to walk into the new because we don't know what to expect. But if you would just surrender your heart to him, you ain't got to wait till I stop talking. You can come talk to him. I'm going to keep on talking. You can talk to him. I'm talking because some people in their heart, I'm trying to help voice some things that they may not know how to put words to. But you may know how to put words to some of the things in your own heart. Because see, sometimes we just got to sit still. Just be still. God, deal with me. Not so much that I feel like I'm in trouble, but God, I just want to know you. God, I want just to be some kind of seasonal thing for me. God, I want to have something that affects other people's lives, that when I talk to them, there's an effect. I want to have you, a close relationship with you. Hallelujah. God, I'm scared of failing and what I'm going to look like to everybody if I fail. I'm scared of not being like other people, and I'm scared of the judgment of people because I'm different than other people and I may do it differently than other people. I'm afraid. Let the Lord speak to your heart. That little impression on your heart. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Let the Lord speak to you. God says, if you will tell me you surrender today, I'll show you how. You've been fighting, but if you tell me you surrender, God, I surrender. I'm not saying you got to have a feeling behind it, but make a choice. God, I surrender. God says, I'll show you how. I'll show you how to surrender. But I'm waiting for you to make a choice to be in agreement with me that you're supposed to surrender right now. God, we let go of the old. You say we walk by faith, not by sight. And we know one of the functions of faith is through our confession. So we walk with through what we say. So we take the first steps with our mouth. God, I let go of the old. I let go of the old. And I receive the new. I let go of the old and I receive the new. I let go of the old and I receive the new. I let go of the old fears, the old hurts, the old pains, the old grudges. Not only am I open to the new, but I receive the new. I want the new. Help me to desire the new, even when it's uncomfortable to me. Hallelujah. Help me to stick with the change of what you want to do in me. That I don't back up. That I don't lose it through my own habits. I don't want to lose this, God. I don't want to lose this being closer to you. I know I got to have you. But I really, sometimes I just get in my own way. But out of my mouth, I let go of the old. I let go of my old failures. They don't have to repeat themselves. I can walk in victory. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Give God a praise like you believe it, though. Give God a praise like you saying bye-bye to the old. Bye-bye to the old mindset. Bye-bye to the old way of thinking. Come on, give God a praise as a declaration that I'm free from the old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. And I receive the new. I receive the new, God. I receive the new, God. In my new heart, my new wineskin, do it in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.